From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. Today, I'm very happy to give you some of the key points to remember regarding the 2017 Guideline for Management of Ventricular Arrhythmias and Prevention of Sudden Cardiac Death. This is an update from the AHA, ACC, and HRS. The following are summary points from this document, which I think are very useful to those of us who care for patients. First, patients with heart failure with reduced ejection fraction, clearly treatment with a beta blocker, a mineralocorticoid receptor antagonist, and either an angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitor or an angiotensin receptor blocker, or one of the newer agents, the angiotensin receptor neprilysin inhibitor, is recommended to reduce sudden cardiac death and all-cause mortality. Useful information that these therapies that you and I think about in terms of heart failure prevention also can have a benefit on sudden cardiac death. Now, in patients who have ischemic heart disease and sustained monomorphic ventricular tachycardia, coronary revascularization alone is not an effective therapy to prevent ventricular tachycardia. In patients who have non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, heart failure with New York Heart Class 2 to 3 symptoms, and an LVEF of less than or equal to 35%, despite guideline-directed management and therapy, an implantable cardioverter defibrillator is recommended if a meaningful survivor for the patient is at least a year. Obviously, this pertains to patients who have end-stage cancer or are in hospice for other reasons. We have to think about that. In patients with prior MI and recurrent episodes of sustained symptomatic ventricular tachycardia, or those who present with VT or VF storm and have failed or are intolerant of amiodarone, catheter ablation is recommended, and that is a class level of evidence BR in this document. In young patients under the age of 40, unexplained sudden cardiac death or unexplained near drowning or recurrent exertional syncope, who do not have ischemic or other structural heart disease, further evaluation of these patients for genetic arrhythmia syndromes is recommended. Another point, for patients who require arrhythmia suppression for symptoms or declining ventricular function suspected to be due to premature ventricular complexes, generally this would be more than 15% of their beats, predominantly with one morphology, and for whom antiarrhythmic medications are ineffective or not tolerated, or not the patient's preference, catheter ablation is useful. Also, in patients who meet criteria for an ICD, who have inadequate vascular access or are at high risk for infection, and in whom pacing for bradycardia or VT termination or as part of a cardiac resynchronization therapy is neither needed or anticipated, in these patients, a subcutaneous ICD is recommended, and that's a level one indication. Another point, in first-degree relatives of sudden cardiac death victims who are less than or equal to 40 years of age, cardiac evaluation is recommended with genetic counseling and genetic testing performed as indicated by clinical findings. A final point to make about this document, patients considering implantation of a new ICD or replacement of an existing one should be informed of their individual risk of sudden cardiac death and non-sudden death from heart failure or non-cardiac conditions, and the effectiveness and potential complications of the ICD in light of their own overall health goals and preferences and values should be factored. In patients who have refractory heart failure, refractory non-sustained or sustained ventricular arrhythmias, or near end of life from other causes or illness, clinicians should discuss ICD shock deactivation and consider the patient's goals and preferences. This is a very important document. I think it really provides excellent reading for our audience. I think the task force should be commended on creating a set of thoughts and recommendations that are easy to comprehend, obviously very evidence-based, and actionable for those of us who care for these patients on a daily basis. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your cardiovascular update from ACC.org. All of this information can be found on the American College of Cardiology's website. Find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, I hope you have a great week. Thank you.